Roll the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Now, you have an idea or even appreciable mastery of what frustration is. A discrete, single event thwarting or obstructing any one of the four domains. Any one of the four domains. The operational domain, doing what you want. The emotional domain, feeling what you want. The achievement domain, accomplishing what you want. And the fairness domain, getting what you want and being treated how you want. Okay. You also learned that you could further discriminate between the two types of frustrating events, discrete frustrations, a single and or temporary frustrating event or condition, essentially the original definition of frustration, and chronic frustrations, constantly or continuously prevented, thwarted, or obstructed in an important area of your life via internal or external sources, typically both. Typically starting as a frustration in one of the four domains, and then in its fully matured state, it grows up big and strong, becoming a major frustration in all four domains. Practically every frustrating stimulus can fall into one of these two categories, discrete or chronic. Now, since you're a master of discrete frustrations, it's time for a deeper dive into chronic frustrations. Here are typical areas of chronic frustration: education and skill development, work, career, and vocational paths, overfatness and obesity, romantic, familial, and friendly relationships, and neglected but interesting to consider, incarceration, nursing homes, and other forms of banishment. So here's a story of chronic frustration you probably recognize. Think about somebody you know of that probably went through or is going through something like this now. Let's consider a person carrying excessive fat, especially for a long time, especially if they can't stand it. With overfatness and obesity, self-diagnosed or clinically diagnosed, it's common to frequently sustain frustrations in all four domains, getting chronic and sometimes debilitating flare-ups of the I can't stand it-itis. Carrying excessive fat, especially for a long time, especially if they can't stand it, impedes their operations, their normal activities every day, and they can't stand it. If it blocks them from doing what they want to do every day, it will negatively affect their emotions. It will disturb their mood all the time, and they can't stand it. If their mood is negative and disturbed all the time, then it will hurt their what's called executive functioning, attention deficits, impaired memory, more and worse errors, procrastination, impulsivity, which indubitably thwarts their chances at reaching just about any goal they're striving to reach, obstructing their achievement, and they can't stand it. Obstructing their achievements stagnates or even disrupts their entire life. Exhausted by the chronic failure to reach their goals, even though they're apparently working as hard as they can and it's too much to bear. Adding insult to injury, everyone else still manages to succeed and get what they want and accomplish what they set out to do. So much for life being fair, especially with all the effort that they are putting in and what they are getting back. So much for life being fair, right? And they can't stand any of it. See how gnarly and sneaky this is? Being chronically frustrated by, in this case, apparent overfatness is obviously just one of many chronic frustrations, which, as you can probably tell, easily spill over into creating chronic frustrations in other areas of your life. Being chronically frustrated by overfatness, for example, may stop you from learning and doing new things, having and maintaining good relationships, progressing in your career. All major and chronic frustrations. Once this snowballing happens, it can appear as if a person becomes globally frustrated. It feels like their life is pretty much over, and it's hard to work up the energy to do anything for any reason. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's awful. And the I can't stand this thing goes to I can't stand this part of my life, which goes to I can't stand my life. Why bother living? What's the point? Some people have scars to prove it. Okay. Now, obvious and crude double entendre aside, this is heavy stuff that gets ignored. So what the hell happens now? To reiterate from earlier, with resolving a discrete frustration, it's best to STFU. It's best to STFU. When you become stimulated, you go into a loop of thinking, feeling, and urging. You stop and tell yourself to STFU, as it were. This thinking, feeling, and urging after you're stimulated is the coveted space between stimulus and response. It is here, as Dr. Viktor Frankl would say, you can inject some rationality. Audit the stimulus and the thinking and feeling and urging. Act deliberately, thus having a purpose-filled response. R. And as a bonus, increase your chances of having a constructive outcome at O. Thus, stimulus response outcome model, SRO. However, when a person is in the midst of major chronic frustrations, they're apparently drowning in frustrating stimuli in all the domains at the same time. In this case, a major area of their life is apparently or actually handicapped with the same destructive outcomes in either case. Sometimes, in a major and chronically frustrated state, telling yourself to STFU, although it does help to resolve current frustrations as they come, and prevents more frustrations from coming in the future, it falls short of resolving an already established major chronic frustration spilling over to all the domains. Got it. Okay, when does this happen? It happens when the BS you tell yourself, your belief systems, are in constant conflict with reality. You, another person or thing, a part of your life, or life in general, is violating your expectations ever so rudely and all the time. What's funny, though, is that if the BS you tell yourself is constantly conflicting with reality, and that's causing a lot of frustrations, then there's a good chance the BS you harbor is distorted BS. Okay? It's some distorted BS. As in, your beliefs conflict with reality because they deviate from reality. It's as easy to see as it is tough to hear. Okay? It's easy to see it when it happens, at least when other people, huh? Now, a person that's chronically frustrated, instead of calling themselves out on their BS so as to position themselves to respond rationally and deliberately, they increase their kung fu grip on that distorted BS even more. They reinforce the distorted belief systems, sink their teeth into it, bear hug it, kung fu grip it. So thinking caps on. This is crazy stuff here, somewhat literally. Crazy stuff, by the way. Indeed, they turn something they want into something they absolutely need to happen. It must be. I must have it. Or else. Okay? They take something they want and turn it into something they need. They must have. They turn it into a demand. They go from something they want to demanding that thing. I want to lose weight. Therefore, I must lose weight, or else. That demand, along with the almost hidden or else, is the built-in permission people give themselves to act impulsively when the distorted expectations, their distorted BS, deviates from reality. It's built-in permission. This is, by my reckoning, through the development of the SRO model, the cognitive behavioral mechanism behind the all-or-nothing thinking and destructive outcomes that arise from all-or-nothing black-and-white dichotomous thinking, rigid and absolutisms, okay? What's more tragic, many of these miserable-feeling all-or-nothing thinkers talk about this as if it's a badge of honor. It's strangely, it's common to hear, yeah, I'm an all-or-nothing sort of person. I go all in. Sometimes with an air of elitist sort of arrogance behind it a little bit. It's hard to tell if they're bragging or asking for help. Either way, it kind of twists my stomach and makes my heart sink a little. They're literally going through their life telling themselves and other people how they give themselves permission to act a fool whenever they get hassled. Logical. That's some BS, right? This puts you in what I call a cognitive grinder or a cycle of insanity. This is insane. If a person has a rigid and absolute demand of what they expect, then their BS leaves them with two options. They either hit the mark perfectly or they fail. This is why the or else is automatic. I need this or else. I must have it or else. It's automatic because it's dichotomous. That or else is implied. It's inserted already. Okay? I must do this. I must do this or else. I have to feel this way. I should feel this way. I need to feel this way or else. I must reach my goal. I have to succeed. I should achieve this or else. I must be treated fairly and get what I deserve or else. Or else I can't stand it. And I will respond to this frustrating stimulus dumbly, have a destructive outcome, get even further from my expectations, which means obviously I need to feel, achieve, and get what I deserve even more because I'm further away from it. I strengthen the distorted BS. Since I'm further, I must hunker down and have a stronger kung fu grip. I have to. I must. It's the only way. Or else. I must have these things even more, or else I can't stand it. This person chronically falls below the rigid and absolute beliefs of what must happen because of their distorted BS that they harbor, that they tell themselves. They act out because of it, punish themselves because of that, and then, in a stroke of genius, set their harmful restricting standards even higher. Rinse and repeat. I must get what I need, or else I'll act a fool and punish myself. If only I had done the right thing the first time. And now I need what I must have even more. Interesting, right? I must have it, or else I must have it, or else I'll self-destruct. If only I didn't act so stupid. And now I must have this even more. I restrict myself, blow out from going crazy, and then punish myself for this dumb behavior. Now I have to restrict myself even harder. I demand what I want. I must have it. I will sabotage anything else. And then I'll regret setting myself back, which only strengthens the demand to get what I want even more. I distort reality. That disturbs my attitude. And it prompts me to self-destruct. And that self-destruction prompts me to distort reality even more. Stimulus, response, outcome. It's crazy, right? It gets me emotional every day. You may tire of the repetition here, of the cycle of insanity. Well, try being a chronically frustrated person stuck in this cycle of insanity, this cognitive grinder. Maybe you know what it's like or know somebody that does. The cognitive grinder is nasty because frustration tolerance is already very low. Frustration sensitivity is already very high. The oh shit machine is redlined. That space between stimulus and response is already tiny with a highly active sympathetic nervous system. Practically speaking, they are mentally handicapped. This is why I call it a cognitive grinder. This mental handicap distorts thinking, impairs executive function, thus putting their impulsive behaviors on a hair trigger, which is why the self-perpetuating destructive outcomes pile up. A person is literally driving themselves to believe, think, and feel, and act what Alfred Korzybski calls insane. It is insane. The more your expectations conflict with reality, the more you demand your expectations must be met because you can't stand it. Demanding they must be true or else your oh shit machine starts winding up. This must work. It has to work. I need it to be perfect or else. Here's what this looks like practically. When a person harbors distorted BS, distorted belief systems about a frustration in their life, they are consistently trying and failing to resolve it. Even with some auditing and some self-correction, the destructive outcome still adds up. Their frustration sensitivity is so high and their frustration tolerance reserves are so low that seeking resolution becomes frantic, erratic, and impulsive, at least until they can't stand it anymore. They start frantically obsessing over what to do, frustrating themselves with zillions of options, citing such ridiculousness as information overload. What feels like a zillion options is like 3 to 5 options that they obsess over a zillion times each. Maybe they start erratically trying these options, but because their tolerance to frustration is so low, they chaotically swap between them after breaks between failed attempts to recover from their flare-ups of I can't stand it-itis, of course. Under these conditions, each try always falls short of their because of their distorted BS they harbor about the outcome they must have or else they do something dumb, thus proving this method fails and they have to throw it away because they should have a better outcome, the one they need and must have, or else. After doing this a few times, a person can justify telling themselves that they have tried everything and that nothing works for them. How's that for some distorted BS? Some distorted belief systems to harbor and tell yourself. Metric tons of wasted effort expended over many years. How frustrating. All the while reinforcing the distorted BS that they must get what they can't have, or else they will always act stupidly and continue to absolutely prove how much of a disaster life is, how horrible and terrible everything is, how much of a special snowflake they are now because of it. And if only life was fair and the universe rolled out the red carpet for them. Too bad I'm doomed to be a turd burglar, turd burgling for all eternity. It sounds like a lot when explained this way, right? Yeah, because it is. So people sum up all of that distorted BS by saying, yeah, I'm an all or nothing type of person. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!